Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. We hope that you had a good New Year's. We're here. We're transitioning. Everything from now on should be written with a 25 at the tail end. So, 2025. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Again, welcome, welcome. Mary, where do you want to head us to?
Well, I think the event of this past week was the passing of Jimmy Carter at age 100. And although the media is definitely putting sainthood on him, some of us don't necessarily agree with that evaluation. And I'm going to go to Pat on to begin this one.
I'll just tell my Jimmy Carter story. I was stationed in Germany. In Augsburg, which is southern Germany, right 30 minutes from the border with the Soviet Union, when Carter was president. And we decided to shoot for the marksmanship award with our German co-unit, a German unit that we would have to go out into the field with if World War II, if World War III started. And we had to beg for bullets from the Army, okay? The military was not in a good situation under Jimmy Carter's presidency. And to me, Jimmy Carter will always be the failure of the hostage rescue situation that crashed and burned in the desert and humiliated our military. I did find, among the articles I've been reading about Jimmy Carter, I did find one where the guy was a jet mechanic during Carter's tenure and said that they didn't have any parts. They never had more than 60% of their jets up and flying, that they had to steal parts out of the ones that weren't flying to keep the ones that were flying flying. And he said when Reagan came in, all of a sudden there were more parts than they knew what to do with, which begs the question, what was Carter doing?
Where were they hiding? Yeah.
Yeah, where were the parts during Carter's tenure? I never had a good feeling about Jimmy Carter. I remember the misery index.
Yes.
I remember I was stationed for a while at our headquarters and people in San Antonio, and people were buying homes, and the mortgage rate was 13%.
Well, was 21%.
I'm going to add to that. We were up in Massachusetts, and the company that I was working for, we were in an opportune moment to build a new building to meet all of our needs, a research company. And we got a mortgage at loan, apparently, at 3 points over prime, and prime went to 18.5%.
Wow.
When you're doing, at the time, I think it was a $7 or $8 million loan. You sure you need that eraser on that pencil? You sure? You can use the other side of that sheet of paper, you know?
Yeah, so. Right. We bought our first house, and we got an FHA loan, and it sounded like a really good deal when we got it. It was 8 or 9%, but then it was adjusted every 6 months.
Oh, you had the floating.
And we had that floating rate, and it went up to 21%. So we had a $60,000 house that we were paying a $900 house payment on so that we wouldn't go backwards the whole time that the rate was changing. Yes, it was bad. It was probably not the smartest decision we made in our early married life.
You remember the Carter talks, the fireside talks?
Yes.
In his sweater?
Yes, the malaise talks.
Yes, the malaise.
No, we went from a 4% mortgage to an 8.5% mortgage because we moved during that time. And remember the gas line?
We got to assume an 8.5%, I believe, wasn't it? No, we didn't assume that one. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But remember the gas lines? I mean, it wasn't a successful presidency. And my gripe with him is that I believe he was very anti-Semitic.
I had two memories of him. One is good and one is bad. My good memory was his success with Habitat for Humanity.
Yes.
And my bad memory was giving away control of the Panama Canal.
Which we are paying the price for now.
Yes, we are. We're still paying that price.
Yeah, Trump says the Chinese military is running the two ends of the canal, and that they're charging American shipping, which is the majority of the traffic through the Panama Canal, higher fees.
And that is against the agreement that we sold it to them for, which means that we can say you've broken your contract.
Right.
That would be good.
So maybe we'll get the Panama Canal back. We'll get Greenland.
And the 51st state of
and
Canada.
And Canada, yeah.
And Canada.
Well,
I did see a post that if Canada became the 51st state, their taxes would go down 60%.
Oh. Yeah, but their medical insurance would go up.
By the way, the other thing that I know everybody misses with the passing of Carter is Billy Beer.
Mm. Billy Beer?
Billy Beer.
Yeah, the home brewing laws were changed during the Carter administration so that Billy would not go to jail.
I didn't know that.
So that's why you can home brew now.
I just remember the peanut farmer jokes.
Oh, yes.
Well, don't you remember when he was attacked by a rabbit?
No. Tell us.
He was in a rowboat and a rabbit jumped into the boat. Don't you guys remember that?
No.
It was a big rabbit, like a jackalope or something.
He had too much of Billy's beer.
It was like only Carter could be attacked by a rabbit.
Okay, yeah. Moving right along.
Hey, it really happened. I'm not making it up.
What's the next topic that we're heading to?
Pat's got some news on Fannie Willis.
Yeah, we got a Fannie Gate update here. Two things since we've been on the air. Fannie and her entire office have been removed from handling the RICO case against Trump. The appeals court found that there was the appearance of impropriety, which was enough to take her off the case. And since all the assistant DAs work at her appointment, once she's off, they're all off too. So somebody else in the state of Georgia will have to agree to take that case. And the case goes to some counsel who decides where to put it. And then that DA has the option of deciding whether or not to go forward with it.
Who makes that decision on where it goes?
This council.
But is it a council of state, like the governor has control over it? Who is
it?
The
one person or a group?
Yeah,
it's a group.
Okay, so there is a chance that it could be a favorable court versus what he's facing now.
What who's facing?
What Trump is facing now with the...
A favorable DA, I mean.
Yeah.
Well, speaking as a former DA, anybody that would take that case in the way it's positioned now would have to have a death wish. That case is a mess.
So this is a good thing then?
It's a good thing.
Okay.
Because
it's toxic.
I don't think another DA will agree to prosecute it.
And also,
they'll just quietly dismiss it and we'll all just move on with it.
And also the lines of communication between the White House and the DA's office are more so being exposed now.
Yes.
So
that, right.
And that's a problem.
Yes, because the judge has ruled, this is second in the Fannie Gate update. Fulton County Superior Court Judge Shakura Ingram has ruled that Fannie will have to comply with a state Senate inquiry into her conduct over the prosecution of Donald Trump, which means that she has to testify and she has to produce documents. Now, these documents that she's been asked for are the same ones that Jim Jordan's been asking for, where she's told Jim Jordan to go pound sand. And the ball's in his court now, what he wants to do to enforce his subpoena. Maybe they could send her to jail like they did Steve Bannon.
This will all happen within the state level, though.
Georgia Senate committee is investigating her, and she's going to have to comply because I guess she told them the same thing she told everybody else. Apparently, she thinks if you're the DA of Atlanta, you are beholden to no one. But she's finding out differently.
Didn't she say that no such documents existed, and then they found things through emails?
She said the documents they're asking for don't exist, except the one they already had.
Okay. I guess I'm just naive and would believe things, you know.
Well, since they did make... since they did make three trips up there, there's bound to be some documents.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, it's pretty obvious she's lying.
Yeah, it's being facetious.
Yeah, she lied about Wade, too. So I think we can all agree that Fannie is a liar.
Mm-hmm. And what you said about another attorney being willing to take the case, that case is toxic.
It is toxic because... it's wound up with all the wrongdoing that she did in her office, and who wants to import that? Trust me, you have enough bad cases of your own. You don't need to import it.
But the same thing in New York, though, with the E. Jean Carroll stuff. It just is, it's, people hate Trump so much that they're willing to risk their careers on this. Alvin Bragg is not doing
they're
anything
not
to,
thinking logically. They're so blinded by what they've been told that they are not thinking logically. And Jean Carroll may, I don't know this, but may have looked at this as an opportunity to collect some serious money.
Well, she did, because remember, there's two verdicts.
Right.
She took him back a second time, and she got... what?
$15 million, I think, for defamation.
Oh, really? I was going to say 80.
I think the first one was like
I think they
80.
Knocked it down. I'm not sure.
The first
sure.
one was 5. This is the first one. And he said, I still don't know that woman. She's a kook. She took him back again.
Yeah, so the second one was higher than the first one?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was vice versa.
No, the second one was higher because the jury said, well, he didn't learn his lesson from the first one.
Aren't you allowed to deny that what someone's charged?
You're not allowed to say she's a kook.
Why not? I mean, isn't free speech allowed?
It's defamatory.
Only if you're an elected official, I thought you weren't allowed to.
No, she's not. That's the point. She's a private person. She's not a public official.
So an elected official can't call her a kook without getting in trouble.
It's got nothing to do with elected officials. If I go into the newspaper and start calling people names, they're gonna and they're not true. They're gonna sue me for defamation. The only reason public official is connected in our minds with defamation is because the burden of proof for a defamatory case against a public person is different than for a private person.
Okay.
And we also know that there's situations where a public person really says any press is good press.
I don't think so.
But from a public publicity. From a publicity perspective, there are people that anytime my name can get into the paper, that's a good thing. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Welcome back. Thank you again for listening to the sponsors and supporters. One of the things that we'd like to get, I think we'd like to do at the beginning of this year is coming up January 20th, I know that we're going to have the installation of
a new president.
A new president. And the question is, what is the triage for the new president? What are the things that he should do first?
On day one?
On day one?
You can start.
I can start. Well, I'm going to start with put the wall in place. Put the wall in place between Mexico and the United States.
Begin empowering DOGE.
January 6th pardons.
That's, yeah.
Deportations of the illegal criminal element out of our society.
Stop spending all the money
they're
you don't
have.
They're
all illegal. They're all yes. criminal.
Stop spending the money you don't have.
Yeah.
Yeah, but let's start with the illegal. You're right. They're all criminals. They cross the border illegally. But let's start our deportations with the ones who've broken the law. Well, other than that,
I think that's the way that that's the way that it's going to be executed, carried out, as opposed to when you listen to some of the people saying, "Oh, you're going to separate these
grandma
and these children and grandchildren." And fortunately, who's the
Tom Homan?
I'll deport them all at once. But he is going to. If you come to this country and you act like a criminal, you will be shown the door very quickly back to your homeland.
And one of the things that is in the news also, along with the immigration, is the HB1 visas, the
yes.
work visas. And we have industries in North Carolina that are dependent on some of these H-1B. They're the seasonal visas. It's the ones that the fisheries bring in to pick the crabs that the farmers pull in for the produce. But there is a lot of responsibility that goes to the employer of the person. These people are sponsored. They are, their transportation and their housing and their, everything is required of the employer. We know yeah. people that owned a fish house, and they had to pay for the people to come from Mexico, put them in housing, make sure they had transportation back and forth to work, and make sure that they got back to Mexico. And it's like a certain period of time that they're allowed to stay, and then they have to go back for a certain amount of time. That solves the problem that the people say, we need the workers, you know, that.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, we need the workers. One of the questions has been from the beginning, why do we need the workers? It's because our American culture has decided that we are too good to pick crab meat or to pick tobacco or some of the, quote, menial labor jobs. Also in construction, a lot of it has had to do with the costs that were involved, and these illegal people would do it for less money. So if they come in legally with this H-1B visas, all of that, those problems are dealt with.
And if they come in legally, they're covered by all of, like, the worker laws and stuff like that and the insurance requirements, whereas if you hire the illegals off of the street corner and they get into an accident, you just drop them off at a different street corner.
And they're regulated. How many they could bring in, they were told how many they could have per industry.
So you're in favor of these visas?
Yes, I am.
Okay. There's H-1 and there's H-2.
These are the ones, I'm pretty sure.
These are ones? Yeah, because I don't know the difference. But yeah. I suspect if ones are the crab pickers, then two must be the tech bros.
Well, the problem with the tech HB visas is that part of it is corporate greed, in the sense that the foreign workers will work for less than the American workers. But part of it, too, is a result of the failing education system in America. Some of our science and techies are not as well trained as some of the ones coming in from foreign countries. And that we need to step up to the plate on our education.
I don't think that's necessarily there's plenty of bright tech bros out there that are American educated. An article I read said that these visas for the tech bros are used mostly by Indian companies that are importing Indians from India, not our Indians, because it's comfort. It's a comfort issue.
Interesting.
In the process of that discussion, it was said that our people don't want to do a particular task. No, it's because our government system is set up to pay people to stay at home and live well. And that's something that maybe DOGE will get involved, and through Congress we'll have workfare and things like that.
It's also it's also going to be cheaper to deport many of the illegal aliens that our cities are now housing and feeding and giving debit cards to. That needs to stop, too.
And today on the news, Pat, what we were talking about the education of the students. Today on the news, they were speaking on a specific Northeast state that is no longer requiring
New Jersey.
I was trying to be nice.
No, let's lay it out there, because New York did it 6 years ago.
That teachers no longer have to have
pass a test for
reading and writing.
Basic
these are our teachers.
Well, the Democrat in their legislature that put forward the bill said we need more teachers. So in his mind, the way to get more teachers was to lower the bar, so that you have teachers who don't know any more than the people they're teaching.
And this is not dumbing down society at all, is it, people?
Well, I would say that anyone over the age of 50 could probably pass those tests. And the people that have been educated, since we had a Department of Education, might have a different view. I mean, I think there's a gap between the education level of today's 50-year-old and today's 30-year-old.
Which goes back to Jimmy Carter and the Department of Education in 1979.
Yes.
Dun, dun,
dun. Mic drop.
Yes.
You know,
And we're hoping that Trump gets rid of the Department of Education.
That's right. That's one of those triage things that should be high on the list. You know, the other thing that I want to add is if you're going to reduce the requirements for becoming a teacher, that's also reducing the requirements to join the very, very effective teachers' unions.
Here's more teacher business. One teacher was caught, forget what state, she was drunk in class.
And they said there was no law against
that. No law against teaching drunk. So she's back to the classroom.
I want to go to that school.
I'll bet it's not boring.
You know,
fast times at Ridgemont High.
you know that irritated me when I read that, because there's the law, the criminal law, and then there's administrative procedures with
practices
in the school. You're telling me that school didn't have an administrative rule that you couldn't come to class inebriated? They could have kept her out of class on just based on their administrative hearings. There was no need to say, well, there's no criminal law against it.
They must be hard up for teachers.
Well, that's the whole accountability structure in schools in general. They've got policies on top of policies, and something, one of them covers that very, very clearly.
Well, that's my mind.
The policy over policy, there was an, I don't remember the name of the town in Texas, but there was a town in, I think it's not far from the panhandle, the Texas area, that the town had removed all Bibles from school libraries because there was an anti-pornography law put into effect in Texas, and the superintendent of the school system there said, well, there's so much sex and abuse within the Bible, we're going to exclude that. The town folks decided otherwise.
They got rid of the guy?
Well, they showed up enough to
stop the removal.
Convince him to change his mind.
Convince him that he didn't have both oars in the water, I guess. Yeah. What else do we want?
I think we've...
Well, no, let's hit Doge.
Glenn's got a nice Doge hat on.
Yeah. Oh, hey, you do. Me. That yeah. is nice.
It's very subtle.
Did you get that at the GOP
It's black
office?
On black, yes. But I'm all Doge. And one of the things that has come up is this visa thing. And that gets all whacked out because they want to do anything to have a shot at minimizing the impact of Musk and and Vivek. So, you know, I just really am glad that Trump got their back quickly and said, hey, you know, I'm good with these visas. I think the visas, I'm for less immigration, but if you're going to bring people in, bring in the smart ones.
Right.
I'm sorry, whatever color they are. But I'm really glad that Trump did get behind them
quickly,
and say,
yes.
hey, you know, this is how it's, this is going to be messy, and you might as well get used to it.
But part of that is the legal versus illegal. If they're coming in illegally and taking jobs versus coming in legally using the H-1s or the H-2 visas, whichever they're called, you come in legally and we accommodate you. You come in illegally, you should have no rights.
Yes.
Agree.
Right.
Now, I just want to mention one thing because I think we're coming up eventually on a break here. Is everyone aware this is a public announcement warning?
Uh-oh.
As of May 7th, 2025, you will not be able to get on a domestic flight without a real ID. So if you don't have a star on your license, you will need either a passport or a military ID to get on a plane.
How will all these illegals that arrive on buses get to all those other places that they're supposed to go to?
Actually, how will they get to the voting sites?
Oh, my God.
Without an ID. Without any ID.
Because I had to just look at my license to see if I had a star.
I do.
Well, you have to show your birth certificate and your Social Security or marriage license. I don't remember what all we had to take. It wasn't that difficult to do.
You had to show a couple of documents saying where you live, like an electric bill or whatever. And you had to have your birth certificate or a current passport. And your social, I think your social security.
And so I think that's perfect to connect to our election system because all that backup information it should be, and I think is by law now, required to be a registered voter.
I didn't have to show any of that when I renewed my license and I got a real ID.
But you probably had one before.
No, I'm saying that those requirements to get the new ID is why we should use the new ID is our ID for voting.
Right, okay.
Because folks, that would confirm citizenship.
Yep.
Hey, folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for listening.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, Go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Pat, what do you have for us next?
Oh, the Taliban is banning Windows in buildings.
So not Windows as in Microsoft Windows.
Banning Windows in buildings so that nobody can see women through the window.
Nobody. What are they going to do for light?
Women... That's what electricity is for. Can you imagine being a woman in that country now? You're inside. You're not allowed to speak, orate, or pray publicly. You have to wear this...
contraption.
This thing.
Hijab. I'd have been killed a long time ago.
I don't look good in black.
Can't go to school after the sixth grade.
I would have a hard time keeping my mouth shut.
Can't drive.
No, I would be in trouble.
No, because you would have been brought up into it.
They don't know any better. No. Well, I don't know, because they had a little bit of freedom.
Well, yeah, I've seen pictures of like these areas, Saudi Arabia, in like the 60s and 70s, where they were dressed like us.
Yeah. In Iran, particularly before the revolution, they were going toward Western culture.
Well, they're stopping women from being seen, and they're stopping women from seeing the world. It says, a decree posted by the government spokesperson, new buildings should not have windows where you can see the courtyard, kitchen, neighbor's well, or in other places usually used by women. Seeing women working in kitchens and courtyards or collecting water from wells can lead to obscene acts.
Oh, like working is an obscene act.
Well, no, can lead to obscene acts because their men are so oversexed by not seeing any part of women's body that just the mere glimpse of somebody's ankle will send them into a towering sex attack, obscene act.
Well, I want to mention that the impact of the immigration that we have had into America from the countries that practice Sharia law has had a very detrimental impact on some places. And there was a case in Washington State recently where a teenager was almost choked to death by her parents in an honor killing because they were getting ready to put her on a plane to Iraq to marry an older man, probably in his 40s or 50s, and she's 17, and they found out she had a boyfriend. So they were going to kill her because she had brought disgrace to the family. Now, thank God they were not successful and the police intervened. But the girl is 17. She's not of age yet. And she has an uncle in Canada with the same mental attitude as her parents. So I'm hoping that they will put her in a safe place till she turns 18 and keep her safe, because this is the kind of thing that you have kidnappings and all kinds of things that go on, because under Sharia law, her parents have arranged that marriage with the older man, and she is bound by it. And this is America. We should not have even attempted honor killings.
Hey, listen, America. Under Sharia law, they mutilate women's sexual organs.
Yes, they do.
And it was not banned. The Democrats voted against it, banning it in America. So you can still have it done to your daughters in America.
And Britain now has Sharia courts. I believe they have 80 now Sharia courts that uphold Sharia law, which says things like if a woman is raped and she can't come up with four witnesses, then she's guilty of adultery and she needs to be killed. Things like that.
Wow.
Yeah, Sharia law is not woman-friendly.
Why is Britain doing this?
Because they've been overrun with Muslim immigrants.
They let so many in, they're just overrun.
But they still have their parliament and their laws. I don't...
Mayor of London is a Muslim, isn't
he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, America, we better wake up.
Yes.
Well, Germany is waking up. I remember when Angela Merkel was made the point to let all the Syrians, all the Muslims in, and blonde-headed German women were standing there with big signs, "Welcome!" Yeah, now they want them gone. Now that they've learned how it is living with German Muslims. Last night I saw an article about what's going on in Spain. It's called Burn Infidel Cars for the New Year's. Apparently they do this every New Year's. They burn like 60 cars belonging to somebody. And they had a picture, and you could see the mortar fire going towards the cars.
Yes. I don't know the details, but I believe we have a microcosm of that in Michigan, right? Is Michigan
yes,
the prime
do.
Airborne?
We have no-go zones.
So you've got a start. And so don't think it can't happen here if you let your guard down.
We have what is called no-go zones in Michigan, where the police and the firemen will not go because they are not safe there.
Those are Somalis. Muslim.
And there's other cities like
Minneapolis had some problems.
And like New York City, with certain Chinese police forces.
Yeah, I think they put them out of business. Yeah, but there were Chinese communist police forces working in New York City, tracking the Chinese communists to make sure they were behaving themselves while they were in America.
Well, speaking of Somalis, Trump took our troops out of Somalia.
Yes.
First thing Biden did was put them back in. They don't belong there. We don't have any U.S. interests regarding Somalia. It's a failed state. And it's not our job to re-erect every failed state.
It's also a source of many of the high seas pirates.
So I would add to my what he should do on January 20th is take those troops out of there, and also take the 2,000 out of Syria. You know, I started thinking about that. Remember the Pentagon general said, I thought we had 900, but we actually have 2,000. And he just said it offhandedly, like, it's no big deal that we have 2,000. Well, think about how many people 2,000 is. That's a lot of people. And where are they living? There's not an Air Force base. There's not a base, an American base in Syria that I'm aware of. Is anybody here aware of an American base? Where are they living?
Don't know.
How are they getting you know, supplies.
You're also getting into a situation where one of the major players in Syria right now is Turkey. Turkey is a NATO country. We are in danger of winding up fighting a NATO country, which would be total insanity. To get back, one more thing I want to mention about immigration. Sweden has reached the point where it is sending its immigrants back. It is
Turkey,
paying them to leave.
Turkey is not a friend of the West.
Oh, I know that.
They don't belong in NATO.
They were.
So if we had to attack them, if for some reason they attacked us and we had to attack them back, I'd be okay with that.
Well, beyond that, we need to get out of NATO, and then we can do as we see fit.
Amen.
Also, Turkey was okay till Erdogan came in.
Yeah.
Also, they were friends with Israel.
Let's remember, for the last 4 years, I don't think any of the other NATO countries have been paying their fair share.
Probably
I think,
not.
I think when President Trump was in office before and decided that they would need to pay their fair share of support, many of them bellied up to the bar, but I don't think that's happened since.
One of the things that I really admire about the former Trump administration and that I expect to see in the coming Trump administration is that President Trump understands economic leverage. And I don't think Biden does, and I don't think many of our past presidents did. You don't have to fight a war to win with missiles and troops and whatever. You can do it economically and peacefully. And I think Trump understands that, and some of the people in our Defense Department haven't figured that out yet.
You wouldn't be speaking about tariffs, would you?
Well, tariffs are part of it, but there's more to it than that. It has to do with, you know, just we'll help you out if you.
Well, I'm thinking about, in general, foreign aid that we do, and I would like to see our foreign aid decrease. I would like to see our government go back to the founders' intent of the Constitution of infrastructure, protection, and fair trade. And the foreign aid stuff and the money stuff, and there's just so much. Our country's falling apart, and we're trying to build up other countries.
You mean, why should we pay people to hate us?
Absolutely.
Well, we also need to get back to the position where we make manufacturing, this country manufacturing friendly, because we've done everything to try to drive manufacturing out of here, whether it's because of non-governmental organization regulations or even government regulations that have just stymied everything that we try to do.
Number one, I think we should take back our pharmaceuticals and our IT stuff. You know, we have our IT stuff made in China, and then we wonder how our banks and how the U.S. Treasury is getting hacked.
Yeah.
Well, I think the economy is a big thing that's on the triage list, and I do totally agree. If you're not physically making things, you know, you're not truly adding value to the economy by selling insurance and other services. I mean, it meets a need, but making things is where it's really at.
Yeah,
building an economy.
Making things out of, improving products, yes. Yeah. And the service industry, I'm going back to the early, very early 70s, where we were studying the service industry versus the manufacturing industry. It's very easy to lay off a second or third employee at a pizzeria in one day. But if you're trying to shut down a manufacturing company or trying to ramp up a manufacturing company, you can't ramp up a company overnight.
Right.
You can add a pizzeria person overnight. You can add a clerk in a store overnight.
Something going back to the triage and stuff, I don't know that we've talked much about the economy, but I would say drill, baby, drill should be on that list too, because not just to be energy independent, and you know that was another Carter thing, the gas lines that we had during his administration.
Price fixing.
But if we decide we're going to be energy independent, we also are employing a whole bunch of people to drill these oils.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I know we're getting ready for a break.
Okay. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters again. This is CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Stop in at East 70 Pond for great deals. Drew and his knowledgeable staff have been serving the New Bern area since 1989. We always try to help our customers with friendly and honest service. Our crew is what sets us apart. Treating folks like how we want to be treated is our standard. People appreciate great service plus great prices, and that's what we're all about. Our shop is like no other. We specialize in guns, jewelry, and ammo, but we have so much more. We have the largest selection of new and used firearms, coins, collectibles, musical instruments, and tools. Our new jewelry selection is growing daily. Find us at 3317 Highway 70 East of New Bern. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, check out our website for many, many collectibles, east70pawn.com. East 70 Pawn is your one-stop shop to buy, sell, trade, or cash loans quickly, conveniently, and confidentially.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back, and again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Pat, you were going to take us in a different direction.
Well, talking about military troops and where they're supposed to be and how many are there and how are they even in the country. How do we have 2,000 troops in Syria? Well, I found this article. It says, the inconvenient truth for Biden's advisors is simple. U.S. forces continue to operate in a country, Syria, that has not invited them to establish a presence and without any constitutionally mandated authorization for the use of military force required to make such military operations legal under U.S. law. And I think I made the comment last time that, and probably the time before that, that it bothers me that our president acts like a king where he just sends military troops into a country without declaring war, without Congress declaring war or one of these authorization for the use of military force.
And no congressional resistance.
Nobody blinks an eye, and we put these troops, you know, in a position like this. What are they doing in Syria? Well, according to the government, they're there on an anti-ISIS mission. Well, if Syria, when it was a country before Assad was run off, invited ISIS to be in their country, who are we to send 2,000 troops over there into their country to say, oh, no, you don't. We'll just attack them whenever we want to. You know, it boggles my mind that this kind of stuff is going on. What are the troops that we have in Africa? What are they doing? Where are they?
They're protecting the mining areas for those precious.
Well, right. where do all of these things fit into what's called the continuing resolution? I mean, in theory, we're running what's called a continuing resolution because we can't come up with a budget. Where's all this extra money come from?
They print it.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
They just print it.
Well, this article I have, The Future of Syria. I asked last time, how long will it be before Syria descends into an internecine battle between all the various elements that are there? And this article asked some questions here. Here's the questions. Now that the Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, HTS jihadis, appear to have taken charge of Syria, will they fulfill their promise of moderation, or will the hardcore among them dispose their current leader? Al-Jilani, or will Al-Jilani himself revert to his previous views when he for so long supported Al-Qaeda and ISIS, thereby earning a $10 million bounty on his head from the American government, which, by the way, Biden lifted, just lifted. What will happen to the Syrian Kurds, longtime allies of the Americans in the fight against ISIS, but now under assault by Turkey, which has seized Kurdish-populated areas in northeastern Syria without a peep of protest from HTS? Will the Alawites, who were with Bashar, remain in the country or flee Syria out of fear of retribution from those who suffered under the rule of the Alawite Assads? How many of the 2 million Syrians now living in Western Europe will be sent home now they can no longer claim refugee status? Will the Americans end their designation of HTS as a terror group? Will the Saudis and Emiratis agree to provide tens of billions of dollars to start the rebuilding of Syria's devastated infrastructure? Will Israeli troops remain in control of the Syrian side of the Golan? So many questions, and we don't know any of the answers. And because of Syria's geopolitical importance in that region and their geographical location, what happens in Syria is going to be very important to us. And, you know, Trump said, we need to stay out of Syria. It's not our problem. Well, it's not our problem yet, but I agree that on January 20th, he needs to take those 2,000 troops out of Syria.
Yes, yes. Clean up where you can clean up, yes. And don't rely on the United Nations to help any of these situations, no.
Yeah.
Where do we want to go next?
To the plea deals. A court has upheld the plea deal that the 9/11 hijackers made so that they would avoid the death penalty. I'm sorry, I think if you hijack planes and kill innocent civilians, you should be eligible for the death penalty.
But what does the plea deal give them? Do they get to spend a lifetime in Guantanamo?
Yeah. There are worse places to be.
Yeah, they're all fat and happy.
They're all fat and happy.
They've all gained a bunch of weight because they get fed really well.
Yeah, they have tennis courts, they have soccer fields, they have gyms, they have anything they want.
Sounds like a resort.
It is. I mean, Cuba is a place that used to be a tourist destination till Castro came in.
Except, by the way, Cuba ran out of sugar.
Yes.
Where are we going to go next?
I want to mention that on January 11th and January 18th, the CCTA will be having a class on American citizenship. And what we're going to do is we're going to take the test that legal immigrants take to become citizens and see how many of us can pass it.
And show us how stupid and uneducated we are in our own country and our own government.
We don't know that. I'm not stupid.
We don't know that. We're going to take a look at the answers we didn't know.
I think it's going to be fun to see. I've not looked at it, but I just watched some of the rewritten history over the last 10 years.
Yes.
And so that's what I'm referring to, because I'm sure that this test is accurate. I'm just contrasting that to what we've been taught.
Yes. It should be fun, and we'll see what we don't know and go over that. This is not an official citizenship test in any way, shape, or form. This is anyone who wants to take part and see what they know and see what they don't know.
And we will keep no permanent record of your, your test results.
And yes, you will need to read English to take the test. Yes, you will not be able to press one for English.
That is true.
One of the things I want to mention is Attorney General of Texas Paxton went to court suing over the Biden regime getting rid of those wall materials. And so the court put in an injunction. Biden can't sell anymore. And turns out that there was an order secured by Paxton in May of 2024 that required the Biden administration to spend statutorily obligated funds on border wall construction after the federal government attempted to illegally redirect the money. So the Biden regime has been in violation of that May 2024 order, and now they've got this injunction where they can't sell the materials. You know, one of the stink bombs they're trying to leave for Trump.
So what you're saying is he's got another order that he's going to ignore.
Well, he ignored the one from May.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the other thing I heard, whether this is accurate or not, is there are some contractors that had bought up that wall material in previous sales through the year. This didn't just start 2 months
ago.
It's been going on. And that contractor said he will sell it back. If this is accurate, he will sell it back at the price he paid.
Oh, good.
So
we're still paying for it twice.
No. I mean, the government got the money when they sold it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a net.
Right.
But so if that's accurate, that's actually encouraging, too.
Yeah, that's encouraging.
And I think, having heard that also, it's encouraging because I think there's a number of companies that don't want their name coming out that says, I bought up all that border wall.
Yeah, that probably wasn't out of the goodness of their heart. That was probably a politically motivated move.
I want to change the subject again and talk about President Trump endorsing Mike Johnson to continue as Speaker of the House. I think it's a good thing, just for continuity. I think that the legislators that are in office that will be facing a reelection in 2 years need to be paying attention to the mandate that Trump got with the popular vote of the constituency and pay attention to the direction that the people, that we the people, want the country to go versus personal agendas.
Well, that doesn't mean that they have to pick Mike Johnson to be the leader of the House.
No, but they can't get any of Trump's people approved if they're fighting over who the Speaker of the House is. Nothing can get ratified without a Speaker of the House. And I preface this for continuity, not for his grand performance, for continuity.
Well, and the other side of it is, based on anything I've heard, there isn't anyone stepping up and say, I want to be that person. There's a couple that are very strongly against it. Others, probably about 33 others that aren't happy about it. But no one's saying, it's me, I'll do it. And based on how easy it is to remove the speaker, one person can make a motion to get rid of him. Let him be in there for 100 days.
Is it any wonder they hate Matt Gaetz?
Yeah. Well, leave him in there. Let's get through 100 days. And then if you still want to take him out then.
After you get all of Trump's appointments?
Correct.
Well, you know, we also need to remember that there was a good cop, bad cop scenario just a few weeks ago when we were facing that government shutdown because the quote, 1,500-page budget, okay, Mike Johnson had said, okay, this is the best we can do. And then Trump and company spoke up and said, that's horrible. And all of a sudden they come out with a 100-page budget that does almost everything except for the cap on the
right. Well, Mike Johnson's gotten a lot of attention because spending bills start in the House.
That's right.
But as far as Trump's appointments, they go through the Senate.
But
they don't go through the House.
Yeah, but you can't confirm the election until
you can't ratify the election.
You can't ratify the election,
which is on the 6th.
Yeah.
And until you do that, nothing happens in the House, and it's got to start in the House.
And then we've also got the conflict apparently that the inauguration now is going to happen on January 20th, and there's two conflicts on January 20th because it's the Martin Luther King birthday celebration, and also it's going to be flags at half staff for.
The lefties are crowing over the fact that the flags will be at half staff because apparently they think that will make Trump mad. And I'm like, that's all you got?
That's it.
That's what's making you happy? That's pathetic.
that is. Folks, again, thank you for listening to this show. And this is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you.